All right. 34 past the hour, man. We're in for Cedar. And we just, music and me and Dan Pashman is just stupid. He's sitting there. Don't you get on the mic yet. Not yet. Don't you get on the mic yet. I just want to maybe bring up what you said. All right. We're sitting here. We're talking about Pearl Jam, whose album is it's in the top 20 of the Rolling Stones top 50 albums. I haven't bought a Pearl Jam album in a while. Doesn't make any difference. Dan says, go ahead, say it. I want your voice to say it.
I think they're overrated.
And what else? No, the other line is the one that got me.
They don't belong in the rock pantheon.
What the hell does that even mean? What are you? That's an idiot thing to say. He is one of the best rock and roll singers to come along in a long time. Their first album is an immortal album. And I'm not a huge fan, but to dismiss him from the rock pantheon? Please. Please.
They're like on the level of the Black Crowes.
Who suck.
Really good rock band, but not legends.
No. Pearl Jam, I think, is going to surprise you. Their legacy will be legendary. Here's a quick, we got to get on one. If you're in New York or New Jersey area, stop by Maxwell's in Hoboken, a friend of this show, or my show, the old show. No, I wasn't going to cry. A bunch of local illustrators, photographers, designers, and painters have donated art that is now on sale at Maxwell's as part of a holiday art sale. All proceeds benefit Iraq and Afghanistan, Veterans of America, and Homes for Our Troops, an organization that builds handicap-accessible homes for severely injured veterans. They've already raised over $2,000, and the art sale continues into January. That's Maxwell's in Hoboken. For more info, go to maxwellsnj.com. Quick email here before I talk to Nathan Brackett from Keith. Music, CDs are too loud. There's not dynamic range left on modern CDs, and it's giving me a headache. When I play LPs for youngins, they freak out because it sounds so good despite the occasional pop and click. Most CDs sounded better in the 80s despite what record companies will tell you. Well, I understand that. I mean, there is an overwhelming – sometimes it hurts your head. And I've got a turntable that I haven't hooked up yet. But I have to argue, to a point of contention with the CDs from the 80s, I have a ZZ Top box set that stinks because it needs to be remixed. And I wish somebody would tell Billy Gibbons to get on that and give me the first six ZZ Top albums as they were on LP, please. I don't care about the bearded period, all right? But the first ZZ Top albums, Billy, please. Remix them and put them out properly.
You know, what that emailer was saying, it sounds exactly like what Bob Dylan was saying in Rolling Stone this past year. He ripped apart CDs saying that he hasn't heard a good CD in 20 years.
But I've heard that before. I've heard that from the beginning. I've heard that the mid-range, that everything's been leveled out and that it's overproduced and everything happens at the same level. And certainly the idea that LPs are warmer has been around for a while. And I like that. I got to get my... Look, I never know what to listen to. I have to be told, and I have to be read about it, and a lot of it comes from recommendations. So for a sort of end-of-the-year wrap-up here of some of the best music of 2006, or at least in the opinion of Rolling Stone magazine, Nathan Brackett is on the phone with us, the music editor over there. Welcome to the show, Nathan. Nice to talk to you again. How are you?
Hey, guys. Thanks for having me on.
So, all right, like right now, right at this minute, what are you listening to?
I'm listening to you guys.
What's in the CD player, honestly?
What's in the CD player is, I've been listening to the Rhymefest album a lot.
Yeah.
I don't know if you guys are hip-hop fans. That was one of my favorite hip-hop albums of the year.
I am a new hip-hop fan, and let me just write that down. Rhymefest.
And I love that Clips album. That's I've played that to death over the last...
And that's like, hold on, let's see what number that is. Do you have... Oh, number 7, Hell Hath No Fury, Clips.
Yeah.
Now, okay, so how do you judge a hip-hop album?
Ultimately, you know, it's about the rhymes and the production. The Clips album is produced by the Neptunes, and it's just, you know, they've been holding back all of their best beats. I don't know if you know about the Neptunes, but they produce, you know, everything. They produce R&B. They produce a lot of like Christina Aguilera stuff.
That's the Pharrell music machine.
Yeah,
there?
Exactly. And in this case, they've just been holding back everything for their buddies, the Clips, who they've known from Virginia Beach for a long time.
What do you think of that new Jay-Z album?
It's not as bad as a lot of people, a lot of the reviews said it was.
I didn't think so.
There was a real pile-on. You know, I think people realized it was okay to jump on Jay-Z this time around.
Yeah, because, you know, he claimed to retire, and then he became it's the old sort of, I think it's the hubris thing, is that, you know, once somebody starts climbing back down the ladder, they're like, look who's little now.
Okay, now you're Michael Jordan on The Wizard.
Uh-huh.
You know, we can get at you now, you know, but... know, there were a few really strong songs, specifically the songs by Just Blaze and Dr. Dre. There are at least three or four really good songs on there.
Oh, man, I got to figure out what those are. You know, it's you know what stinks, Nathan, is when you buy things on the iTunes, you don't get the liner notes.
Yeah.
So now
yeah.
I'm like, I don't know what the hell you're talking about, and I've listened to that record over and over and over again.
Check out Trouble.
Yeah.
That's by Dr. Dre. That's one of my favorite songs on the album.
Yeah,
Avoid the Chris Martin song. That's the last song. You know, the thing, you have to hand it to Jay-Z because he made, like, a 37-year-old's rap album.
Not
a lot of people would have the guts to do.
Well, that's what I find that's great about Kanye as well and Jay-Z and also the Roots album, which is on your list, is that this is not these guys are talking about personal problems and personal struggles in the age and the life they're living.
Yeah.
They're not a lot of them are not doing a mythological or scatological thing.
Yeah, you know, it would have been really easy for Jay-Z to, you know, quote come back hard, you know, and instead he's rhyming about like how he doesn't put rims on his Bentley anymore because they're a little cheesy. He's too old.
Yeah, no, I like it.
You have to respect.
Yeah, no. Now let's talk about a couple other. Let's move into the rock world. Stadium Arcadium, I got and I was excited about it, and I listened to it all the way through. The Red Hot Chili Peppers all the way through like twice, and I thought I was never going to stop listening to it. And you know what? I stopped listening to it.
It faded on you.
Yeah, I don't know what happened. There's a couple of songs on there I like. I think it's their most mature record. I think they've got the goods. I think they've earned what the place in the rock pantheon that they have. But I could have used a fewer songs.
Yeah, that was a big staff favorite. It wasn't one of my personal favorites, but you do have to hand it to them for at least making a double album that really didn't stink. That kind of deserved to be a double album.
Yeah, you could. Yeah, absolutely. You know I could listen to it all the way through. It might not be by virtue of me being bored. I've got a lot of things on the plate. Do you think they ripped off Tom Petty with Danny California?
But come on, you know, talk about a mountain out of a molehill. You know, but they kind of acknowledge it.
I don't got any problem with it.
Yeah, you know, it's like everybody does that, you know, and talking about Dylan, my God, like every lyric from the new Dylan album is from somewhere else.
Yeah, now that's a good question. Now, you guys put that as number one, Modern Times by Bob Dylan.
Yeah.
I like this trilogy of records of I call him the old Jew, and I think he's making good records, and I think this is definitely the best out of the Love and Theft, Time Out of Mind, Modern Times trilogy.
I go back to Time Out of Mind a lot.
I like it too, but I feel like sometimes Daniel Lemoine sounds like he's recording in a canister underwater.
Yeah, well, Dylan hates that record.
Yeah, I can understand why, because I think it fundamentally represented his insecurity too much. I think that he came into that record, and he was like, I haven't done this in a while, so Lemoine overcompensated.
You're right. He was coming out of a dark time.
Yeah, but I like the new one. It's clean. It's diverse. And also, I don't know, how does he take credit for writing things like Don't Worry, Baby and Rolling and Tumbling? How come he is credited as songwriter on those songs?
I mean, the album, it's practically pastiche, you know, between like all the quotes of the, you know, what's his name, that Southern poet from the 1800s, you know, that he's quoting. You know, all I can say is that it's actually work. If it was that easy, everybody would do it.
Yeah,
it's hard to make something that sounds good. And the best test of the Dylan record for me is actually just listening to it on shuffle. If you have your iPod on, you're listening to the shuffle songs, and it comes on, you're happy to hear it. You know, it's not like Dylan made a good album for a 63-year-old guy who's coming back. You know,
yeah,
it's just a good record, and the band sounds great.
Yeah, it's a good band. I liked the Sexton guy and the other guy too, though. The last band I liked.
He always has a good band.
Yeah. Okay, so let's move on. You know, I love Dylan. I don't know if I would have put a number one, but I don't know what I would have put number one. Some of these things I don't have, but I did. I've been listening to the hell out of the whole Steady because my manager was like, "Dude, it's." And these are bands I don't even like, but for some reason his enthusiasm. He bought 10 of them. He's like, this is like, it's like Thin Lizzy, man. He's a Thin Lizzy head. It's like Thin Lizzy and Bruce Springsteen. And his enthusiasm kind of carried me through the first five or six listens. And I think it's a very earnest record. And I think these are grown men doing rock and roll. And it's kind of refreshing.
And the lyrics, the writing is really smart.
It's smart and dark. And they're all about drinking and crazy girls and people with problems.
Yeah. Chill Out Tent is a great song.
It's a great song.
It's just music that puts a smile on your face. I think that's why people are responding to it.
And it's kind of sad but nice to see Dave Perner come, show up as a voice. Because he's one of those guys like, I wonder what that guy's been doing for the last 10 years.
Yeah.
What has he been doing?
Man, you're asking the wrong guy. I know I should know, but, he's. I lost track of him after Winona.
I honestly never liked him. Never liked him. Never liked Solo Sam. Did nothing for me.
Just kind of po-faced, you know? Just a little too earnest.
It's a tough life, you know, but whatever. He chose it. So it's the Tom Waits box set. Yeah, that's understandable. Pearl Jam. Dude, Nathan, I got a guy sitting in here, and I've had arguments with this guy before about music because he's, I don't know how old you are, but he's the generation behind me that doesn't understand where things begin and instead, you know, takes the guys that cop the stuff and herald them. Like, you know, I've had arguments with Dan Pashman about the Black Crowes because for some reason he thinks they're good and you know, without paying the proper...
Wait, so you were the Pearl Jam hater, Mark? I thought that was him.
It was him.
Yeah. Okay.
But Pearl Jam, I see Pearl Jam as a legacy, but somebody that did something new with a form that when they came out with their first record in the middle of the grunge thing, it was like the resurgence of good old style hard rock.
Yeah.
And that first record is immortal. Yeah. And even if I don't buy these other records, for him to deny them a place in the rock pantheon, I think a little naive.
I'll say two things. I mean, one, you really have to see him live to get it. I know that's a cliche, you know, but it kind of makes sense. Like, Eddie Vedder really is a star, and you really see the whole appeal if you see him live. I don't know if you have. The other thing is that the biggest knock against them is that they just kind of walked away from it all. You know, I think they had some disheartening years. They got a little, you know, frustrated. They got a little too big, too fast, the whole grunge, like, self-hating thing. And then somewhere, you know, in the late 90s, they just kind of stepped back and stopped trying to make, you know, records that sold. And a lot of people have taken them to task for that because they're one of those bands where it's like they could have had it all. You know, they still made great music, but they didn't try to reach as many people as they could. And, you know, I kind of wish they had higher ambitions.
Well, I think that's true, but I think that in a lot of ways, some people feel protected and insulated by the following that they know that won't leave them. And if that following is big enough, they don't feel like they owe it to the world to be U2.
Yeah.
And I think that not unlike, Elvis Costello is a bad example because he actually changes things up and is a creative genius. But, you know, there are bands that say, we got enough people and they're not going to leave us. What do we got to bust our ass for?
Well, I think Bono actually said something to the effect of like, okay, well, if Pearl Jam don't want to be the biggest band in the world, we will.
I bet.
If you know, Radiohead and Pearl Jam don't want to be the biggest bands in the world, we will. No, that's what they've done, basically.
Yep, and I got nothing against you two, though Dan Pashman doesn't like them. He thinks they're overrated as well, but they are a great rock and roll band.
Yeah.
Let's look at Dan. Don't cry, man. I don't want any crying from Dan. Now, the New York Dolls, I wouldn't even buy it because I have a weird thing about bands getting back together with dead or missing people not present.
Yeah.
But you like the record.
It's astonishingly good. Yeah,
okay.
It's amazingly good.
It's probably better than their first two records, which were not that great, really.
Just and the best album title, I think, of the year. You know, someday it will amuse us.
One day it will please us to remember even this.
Oh, sorry, I got call waiting. It like cut out for a second.
One day it will please us to remember even this is the name.
Which is great. Yeah.
Well, I'll pick that up. I like the Wolf Mother. I agree with you on that. The Roots I thought was great. The Arctic Monkeys I thought was pretty good. Regina Spektor, I've interviewed. I like her a lot. Very interesting. The Decemberists, genius record.
Great record.
You put it at 23, understandable, a little inconsistent, kind of like, it's like, what you know, it reminded me of like of a Camper Van Beethoven record where you got a couple of great songs, some interesting concept stuff, and then, you know, 15 minutes of an instrumental that you could really do without.
Yeah.
But
even the instrumentals don't get like kind of noodly, you know, they're just really good songwriters.
They are. They're tight, and I like the guy's voice. The Raconteurs, I'm happy you put it 28 because I've had enough of the Jack White celebration.
A little better live, you know. I think they kind of got on the list because they're just a great live band. They had some great shows, and there are some good songs on the record. But yeah, the record didn't. A little spotty. You know?
I will buy the Fats Domino record. I'm curious about that.
Yep.
I will buy the Tool record because I've never understood why they're so good, though a lot of people who I respect think they are.
Yeah.
I will buy the Lindsey Buckingham. I fought because I was about to buy it, and I thought, "What are you 50?" So I didn't buy it. But I appreciate the list, and I appreciate you being on the show.
My pleasure.
Nathan Brackett, take care.
You too.
Talk to you soon.
Thanks.
It's 48 past the hour. We'll close things up in a minute. There's a guy on the phone, Charlie in Brooklyn, New York. I got to talk to you about what. All right. I'm going to take that call when we come back. Stay with us, Maron on Cedar.
Mark Maron, replacing one ranting Jew with another all week long on the Sam Cedar Show on Air America Radio.